Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Believe with Pastor Brandon, it's going to be the greatest year of Living Way. It's going to be our greatest year, but it's a time of tremendous excitement. It's also a time of great danger, and we need to be aware of that. I've said for 25 years, the three greatest enemies of America are Iran, China, and Russia. And just recently, they joined for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, of having joint military exercises. With what's going on there now, it could be very well that some of us old codgers will never get the privilege of dying. Jesus Christ could come this year. We never know what it's like to die. We go straight from here to heaven because we are living in what the Bible calls perilous times. And there is running on the double track, a parallel track, the Antichrist spirit and what the Bible calls the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. More people are being saved in a day than has ever been in the history of the world. Every day, around the world, great revival. There's great revival in Russia, great revival in China, great revival in South and Central America. Great things are happening, but these are perilous times. And it's time for us to wake up. When the Bible talks about sleeping and waking up, it's talking about being sensitive to what's going on around you. And these are times when if you've ever thought about praying, you probably ought to pray now. If you've ever thought about worshiping God, you need to turn it up a little notch. If you ever thought about coming to God's house, you need to be more regular and say, God, I want to attend your house because God places tremendous emphasis on those that come to his house. He always has in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and today. Would you stand with me, please? We're glad you're here. It's wonderful to see my niece and her husband, Elaine and Donnie. Thank you. They drove all the way from Round Rock to be with us in this service today. We thank you for coming. I don't know how far you drove, but if you just walked across the street, we're glad you're here. Turn with me to a familiar verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want to talk to you for just a few moments briefly on devil-defeating faith. You may be seated. Somebody here today with a PhD behind their name is saying, Pastor, do you really believe in this enlightened age that there is a real devil? Emphatically so. Why do you believe that, Pastor? The Bible declares it to be so. If it were not there, there is so much evidence on the evening news, I would have to believe it. People don't just steal because they're hungry. They murder senselessly. There is an Antichrist demon spirit in this world, and you have to recognize that every bad thing the devil is responsible for, either indirectly or directly. What he set in motion by Adam and Eve in the garden are direct satanic and demonic attack. The devil is a present force. This can be put in better perspective by a more in-depth look at the verse that I've read to you today. It is the Bible's profile of the adversary of mankind. The two greatest mistakes that people make concerning the devil, one is to conclude that he doesn't exist, and the other is to prescribe to him almighty power that he does not have. Neither one of those conclusions are correct. There is only one Almighty, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the revelation of God Almighty, and there's nobody like him. He's the only one, the Bible declares, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And so let us dissect the text that I've read to you today and see what it really says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As a roaring lion. Doesn't say he's a roaring lion. It says as a roaring lion. The devil is an imposter. God hates bullies. The devil is an imposter, he's a bully, he's a bluffer, seeking whom he may devour. The key phrase there is may devour. He is seeking permission. I've said for a long time, if we would, as human beings, keep the power that God has given us, Satan would be totally powerless. Because when God cast him out of heaven, He was taken. Everything that he has was taken from him. Even his name was taken from him. His power was taken. And he's living on credit cards, and you're paying the bill. If you will eliminate the devil's credit in your life, he will not have an effect on you. He's seeking permission. This verse is not nearly as imposing when understood exactly what the devil is. Let's see him as he is. In Isaiah chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, it describes him. It said, in that day, they shall see thee narrowly, look upon thee, and consider thee. And this is what they will say. Is this the man, talking about the devil, that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? We will be appalled on that day when we see him as his unimpressive appearance and weakness compared to his reign of terror and destruction that the world has known. We should also be aware that he is not a God of faith with a little g. He is a God of fear. And he's afraid of God, and he's afraid of God's people. The Bible said in James 2 and 8, yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without my works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And then he said about the devil, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. A pathetic, trembling devil is what the Bible pictures. A begging devil, he's pictured in Matthew chapter 28, verses 29 and 31. It's the story of when Jesus came upon the demon-possessed man, and the demon said to Christ, art thou come hither to torment us before our time? And the Bible said there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, in other words, they begged, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. The devil is a fatalist. Knowing that his time of torment is inevitable, he will be tormented, and his time is short on this earth. Going back to James 2, notice that the trembling devil is preceded and followed and literally boxed in by the work of faith. The Bible said, yea, a man has faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thy faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Look at the next verse. But thou wilt know, O vain man, that has faith, that faith without works is dead. He's boxed in by faith. The devil fears a person of faith almost as much as he fears God himself. There are people in this building that the devil literally has a fear of because you are people of faith. That's the reason why one of the key strategies of the devil to devour people is to prevent or to keep them from getting faith. The true church is the principal venue of faith. That's where we hear about faith. That's why we should come to church and preach primarily about faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. As the conveyor of the Word of God, the church is that, the conveyor of the Word of God. That's one reason why the devil so opposes people coming to a real church. Because if you come to a real church, you will be equipped with the Word of God. And faith will loom large in your heart, and the devil will fear and tremble you just like he fears the very presence of God. Romans 10, 16 through 8. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I say, have they not heard God? Yea, verily their sound went into the earth, and their words unto the end of the earth. What's he saying? He said, if you want to have faith, you must hear the word of God. God is a God of promise. His word is forever established. His word cannot return void. And it is feeding and feasting on that word that creates faith in your heart. It literally puts up a shield against the devil where the devil cannot be a factor in your life. The devil is going about as a roaring lion. You see it every newscast. You hear it all the time. The insidious things that are happening in our world, those are the works of the devil. But we're to be like the people of Goshen in the Old Testament. We are to be in a bubble, in an umbrella, in a place where we are predicted, where we are protected from the devil. And the thing that protects us most is our faith in God. And that faith comes from listening and believing and obeying God's holy word. But listen what the Bible said. Satan attempts to destroy faith by stealing the word. The Bible said in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. And when they had heard," that is, somebody hears the word of God, and suddenly hope comes up in your heart. And you begin to believe that God is all he said he was, that God is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, that God is real, that God is tangible, that God is powerful, that you can know God personally, that God will invade the absentee space in your life with his power, that God will equip you where you will not be simply a mortal man, but you will be a person that is possessed by Almighty God, that God will give you a greater power than the world has, that God will make you not only natural but supernatural, that God will equip you with the Holy Ghost, that Jesus' promise in Acts 1 and 8 will come to pass. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. You hear that word, and it is the natural inclination of the human spirit to believe the word of God, to hear those promises that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. These signs shall follow them that believe. And faith begins to well up in your spirit. Instead of having fear, suddenly you're filled with faith, knowing that you have the power to conquer every adversary and every enemy and every demonic spirit. And that faith looms large. But I haven't finished the verse. It said, after that faith, the word is sown and faith comes up, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's the devil's number one objective, is to keep you from hearing the word of God. And if you do hear the word of God, to come immediately and steal that. Because he knows if the word of God is allowed to settle in your heart and dwell there, that faith will begin to grow from that, and you will become the arch enemy of the devil. And the devil will fear you just like he fears God. How does the devil steal the word? To keep people from coming to a real house of God. I listen to a lot of telecasts and see a lot of things on social media, and I'm just amazed at how little is preached from the word of God. We're living in a time where the guy said it's the nearest nothing I've ever seen, where nothing is happening spiritually. It's simply about a congregating people. It's a glorified Amway meeting. It's a glorified Kiwanis Club. That's not the church of the living God. The church of the living God is a place of the Word and the Spirit. We come to receive God's Word. We worship that God's Spirit might manifest, that there would be a supernatural event. Every time we come to God's house, it ought to be a supernatural event. God's Spirit ought to be among us. That's what Jesus promised us. When two or three gather together in my name, it's going to be a supernatural event. I'm going to be there. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to empower you. But we have strayed to a place where there are so many philosophical ideas being exchanged across the pulpit, and God's word is being so avoided that it's not a spiritual experience. It's simply one more meeting just like we had throughout the week at our office somewhere. This is the house of God. We are the people of God, and God's Spirit is hovering over this place right now. And what God wants to do is come into this building. And if you're sick, he wants to heal you. If you're sinful, he wants to make you righteous. If you're bound, he wants to break your fetters. If you are cluttered in your mind with disdain and fear, he wants to deliver you from that fear. And God is in this house today. He's waiting for somebody to shout a hallelujah. He's waiting for somebody to give the Lord applause. He waits for people to lift their hands. He waits for people to believe that God is in this house. And so the devil says, I don't want them to become people of faith, because if they become people of faith, they will become the same adversary to me that God is. And so he tries to get people to stop people from attending the house of God. If he can't stop you from attending the house of God, he wants to divert you to a pseudo church, a church that does not believe that Jesus is the way and the only way, a church that does not entertain the power of the Holy Spirit, a church that puts no emphasis on the name that is above every name. A church that does not believe that God's word is infallible. A church that does not believe there's a literal hell and a literal heaven. A church that does not believe in the literal new birth. A church that does not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. A church that does not believe that Christ died and rose again on the third day. A pseudo church. But ladies and gentlemen, you're in a real church now. This is God's church. We realize we're saved not because we're good people, but we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We realize that we're saved by Christ himself and no other way. We've come to God's house today to acknowledge that he alone is God and there is none like him. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, that Jesus Christ is the only door, the only way. And Satan does not want you to come here, because if you do, your faith is going to grow. And if your faith is going to grow, you are going to become an adversary to the adversary. He's not going to have power over you. You're going to have power over him. You're going to be able to say, in the name of Jesus. And when you do, he'll be that same dribbling devil that I pictured from you from the Bible. The Bible teaches us that the devil is a weak contender against people of faith. And so he wants to distract your attention. If you can come to a real church, he wants to get your attention. I was preaching in Fort Worth in a great church, a major church, and the pastor and I were walking through the building the next day, and they hadn't had a chance to clean it. And we found in that church orange peelings. Somebody had sat back there and peeled an orange while church was going on. We found not only fingernail clippings, that was bad enough. We found toenail clippings. Somebody had clipped their toenails in church. Friend, there's all kinds of things that happen in church that shouldn't be happening in church. When you come here, you come for one purpose, and that is to focus your attention on God. Because if you focus your attention on God, I promise you, God will look back at you. And when God looks at you, powerful things happen in your life. Failures are suddenly successes. Sins are suddenly righteousness. Sickness is suddenly health. Fetters are suddenly freedom when you focus your attention on God. And so the devil wants to distract your attention. He wants to get a baby crying near you. He wants somebody to get up and get their umbrella and make their way out. Anything to keep you from hearing the word of God. Because the devil is afraid that you are going to become a real ambassador of faith. And if you become an ambassador of faith, the devil's kingdom is in trouble. You'll heal the sick. You'll raise the dead. You'll save the lost. You will rain heaven on the devil's kingdom of hell. The third thing the devil does to try to steal faith from you is to send an attitude to rebel against God's word. Friend, I learned a long time ago that the word is not always what my flesh wants to hear. But I'm like the Apostle Paul. I die daily. I insist that my flesh die out to its own will, because I am convinced that God's word is the real instigator of faith, and faith is the only thing that will save me. I believe that God is. I believe that God was. I believe that God shall be. I believe that he was dead, but 3 days later he rose again. I believe he's coming again. I believe that Jesus Christ is in this building right now. I believe the Holy Spirit is in me right now. And the devil wants me to get an attitude that would be rebellious against the word of God. Sometimes I have to say, God, I haven't got that part mastered yet, but I'm working on it. The Bible said, and the word became flesh. What I'm working on is making this flesh become word, making this flesh submit to the word of God, because the more I submit to the word of God, the more my faith grows. And when I get faith, nothing is denied me. I've got power over demons. I've got power over devils. I've got power over sickness. I've got power over poverty. I've got power over depression. You say, what is depression? It's the lack of faith. It says tomorrow is going to be terrible, that my future is going to be fatalistic. That's what fear is. That's what depression is. But faith says, praise God, the Lord is on my side. I've been blessed, but I'm going to be more blessed. Yesterday was good, but today is better, and tomorrow will be me even better why. I've got faith that God is a good God all the time, that the Lord is on my side. He'll fight my battles. He'll take me through the valley. He'll put me on the mountaintop. He'll write my name down so it cannot be erased. The Lord will cause every good thing to happen to me. Can somebody in this building right now shout, I've got faith? Say, I've got faith. Say, I'm the devil's worst nightmare. I'm the devil's worst nightmare. Look at somebody and say, the devil fears me like he fears my God, because I am a woman of faith. I'm a man of faith. The devil knows I'm headed somewhere, and he gets out of the way before I get there, because the devil is afraid of me. Give God some praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a real devil, but that devil is inferior to my God. And because my God has possessed my soul in the person of the Holy Ghost, the devil is inferior to me, because my God is in me. Greater is in you than he that is in the world. I've got faith that God saved me, that he filled me, empowered me, and no weapon formed against me can prosper. The fourth thing the devil does to try to keep your faith from growing is to send someone to discredit the word or the messenger. So many people have quit because they lost faith in the messenger. You have to realize the messenger is really not that important, so it doesn't really matter. The Apostle Paul said, I rejoice that the gospel is preached. This is one of the great verses of the Bible. Even if it's preached in pretense, what he was saying is, my faith is not in the messenger. My faith is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am convinced that the gospel, what is the gospel, preacher? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And friend, it happened in me. Hallelujah. I've died to sins. My sins have been buried with Christ. And praise God, the Bible said, if the Spirit that dwell in Christ dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. The same Spirit that brought Christ out of that grave, friend. It's more than a handshake. It's more than checking a box on an end of a survey. It's the fact that that same Spirit that was in Christ got in me one day in February to about 50 or 60 years ago. And thank God I have been empowered ever since. And the devil hates me, but the devil's a little afraid of me, because he knows that I rest not on my own laurels, that I boast not in my flesh, but as the Apostle Paul said, I boast in Christ. That same Spirit that was in Christ is in me. And so I've seen messengers come and go. People I had great faith in have disappointed me, but it has not affected my faith, because my faith is not in the messenger. My faith is in the message that my Christ came, walked among men, praise God, seen of angels, and thank God he went away, but not before saying, I will send to you another Spirit. And before he left, he conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave. Hey, I'm somebody, not because of who I am, but because of whose I am. And I'm not going to let my faith dwindle. I've got big faith. I am going to be successful. I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to stomp the devil's head. I'm going to defeat demons. And praise God, when I leave this world, I'm going to see Jesus Christ face to face. Hallelujah. Faith is a defense against the devil. That's the reason why the devil fears people of faith. Faith is a defense against the devil. The Bible said, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's talking about defense. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will become a person of faith, you will have a defense against the devil. That the devil will walk around you. Friend, look around San Antonio. devil has a strategy. And that strategy is, let me find the easy targets. Let me find the soft targets. If you become a person of faith, the devil will walk a wide berth around you because there's easy targets all around you. People that don't believe the word, people that don't go to God's house, people that are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you become a person of faith, you can get up in the morning and say, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have got faith, and it is a defense against the adversary. The devil is not going to have his way in my life. But praise God, I'm going to be more than a conqueror this day. I'm going to have victory today because the devil is fearful of the God that lives inside of me. And so today, the Lord will build a wall all around me. That's what the Bible said he would do. And so the Spirit of faith in your life, it's a standard, it's a defense. And the Bible said it's a resistance. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not only is faith a defense against the devil, I like this even better. Faith is an offense against the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil should not be chasing you. You ought to be chasing the devil. And not only chasing him, catching him, and getting him by the neck and saying, you're going to give me back what you stole. And not only are you going to give it back, you're going to give it back seven times. I know some of you are familiar with the story where I caught the guy breaking into my office in the old church. And I chased him across this parking lot. And praise God, I brought him to his very knees. Come to find out, he was younger, he was bigger, he was stronger, he was faster, but I had a real advantage over him. That is the Holy Ghost. The faith that I have in God is an offense against the devil. I got my credit cards back. I got everything that he stole back. And not only that, I won him to Christ and baptized him in water and saw him receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and become an outspoken Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, you don't have to cower and hide from the devil. The devil ought to cower and hide from you. I hope that they don't find out where I am, the devil is saying. There are people in Living Way Church that are the devil's enemies. And he's hiding and he's running from you every day of your life. But praise God, don't let him hide. Don't let him cower. Go down to the devil's camp and get what he's stolen. And when you get back everything that he's stolen from you, get what he stole from your mama and from your daddy and your brother and your sister and your neighbor and your friend and say, hey, you've got a David on your hand. You might act like Goliath, but I'm David. I've got a covenant. What are you nothing but an uncircumcised Philistine? I am a son of the living God, and I've come back to take what the devil has stolen from me. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. It doesn't matter if you're a 100-pound little lady. Praise God, you've got power over the devil. Our weapons are not carnal. They are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One hallelujah from a Holy Ghost-filled faith, endued little lady, is more power than the devil has in his entire body. You can begin to praise God, and when you do, the devil begins to shudder, and he begins to tremble, and he begins to let loose of the things that he's stolen. I challenge every one of you in this building to become a praiser. Why do you praise? Because you've got faith that God sees you, that God hears you, and that God inhabits that praise. And when you praise God, all of heaven backs it up. Heaven comes down. Angels stand at attention, and demons and devils begin to flee. Hallelujah! I know it might seem to be strange in this sophisticated world, but I'm not judged by the world. I am judged by God, and I want God to judge me faithful. I want God to judge me full of faith. I want God to judge me full of the Holy Ghost. I want God to judge me as a person of character and integrity and somebody that knows that there is a living God, and that living God is not just the Alpha. He didn't just start it thousands of years ago. ago, but he is the Omega. He's the finisher, praise God. And he's coming back with a shout. He's coming back in all of his glory. He's coming back with power. And praise God, I'm a God worshiper. I worship him in the morning. I worship him at noon. I worship him in the evening. I worship in the sanctuary. I worship in the firmament of his power. I believe in Almighty God. I'm a man of faith. He was, he is, he will be. He has all power. He is almighty. The devil is in fear, but my God is almighty. He has power over sickness and disease and sin and hell and the grave and problems and crisis and fear. Praise God. Somebody in this building, jump up to your feet and say, I'm a person of faith. I want to give God praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I don't care what's happened in your life. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time. That's a message for somebody in this church right now. I don't care what's going on Sunday. Monday is coming, and tomorrow about this time, God is going to open the windows of heaven, and your life is going to turn around drastically, quickly, suddenly. God is about to manifest because you're here in faith today. And as I bring to you the word of God, your faith is growing inside of you. You didn't feel like so much while ago, but 10 minutes later, you're on a faith vent. You know that God is inside of you. Something's turning inside of you. Tomorrow, about this time, God is going to open the windows of heaven. And there's always somebody there. The man on whom the king leaned, laughed and mocked and said, oh, you people of faith, that would happen if God would open the windows of heaven. But it did happen exactly like the prophet said it was going to happen. And that man that mocked and ridiculed and was faithless, the Bible said he was at the gate and he was literally trampled to death because of his unbelief. Faith is the major factor in your life. What do you believe and in whom do you believe? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in Jesus Christ with all of my heart. He is the lover of my soul. He is the oasis in my desert. He is the rose in the valley. He is the power in my weakness. He is the joy in my sorrow. He is the strength when I cannot help myself. He is in this room right now. And when I lift up a hand and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, suddenly this fleshly body is invaded with supernatural force. I believe in him, and I believe in his love toward me. I believe that God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son while I was yet a sinner. I believe that he fought hell for me. I believe he defeated demons for me. I believe he fights the devil for me every day. I believe the Lord is on my side. I believe when I fall, he picks me up. I believe when I make a mistake, he forgives me. I believe when I'm sinful, he takes righteousness and replaces my sin. What a God I serve. My faith is in him. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. He is my healer when the doctor said, I can't help you no more. He's my counselor when the lawyer said, I can't fix it. He is my friend when my friends walk away. I love Jesus Christ, and he's in this room right now, and he walks up and down these aisles, and just as he did in the Bible, he went to multitudes of people, but he didn't save the multitude. He saved the ones that manifested their faith. That's what Jesus is saying today in this crowd. Will thou be made whole? Look at your life. What's wrong with your life? Are you sick? Are you bound? Are you fettered? Are you addicted? Are you broke? Are you living in poverty? Have you got bitterness in your heart? Jesus is saying, will thou be made whole? And if you have no faith, you'll sit there like a bump on a log, or you might even say, no, I can't be made whole. But if you've got faith, you'll say, praise God, it doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what circumstance says. Yea, Lord, I will be made whole.
Touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Let me touch you, Lord. God is in this house today, ladies and gentlemen. There's somebody sick that ought to stand up and wobble their way to this altar that God can heal their body. There's somebody that's got sin in their life that ought to come and call on the name of Jesus and let him cover you with his righteousness. There's somebody broke here that God wants to prosper. I tell you, tomorrow about this time, a window can open, a door can open, your life can change. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, this is your morning.